I remember a story of a professional golfer who won a tournament and was presented the check. As he left the clubhouse, he was approached by a young woman. She congratulated him on his victory and told him about her child who was near death. She told him that she had no insurance and couldn't pay the hospital bill. So the golfer, touched by her story, endorsed his check and gave it to her. Later, he got a call from a PGA official about the woman who approached him in the parking lot. She's a con artist. She has no sick baby. She's not even married. The golfer said, "You mean there's no baby who is dying?" "That's right. That's the best news I've heard in a long time." Now, we think that's terrible. He got taken, fleeced. He was too gullible, naive. But I want you to think about his heart and motives. Weren't they kind? Even though we can be taken advantage of, that shouldn't stop us from being kind. Jesus said this in Luke 6, "But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." Well, the Scripture tells us that God is kind. But let him who boasts, boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for in these I delight, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 9:24. Psalm 86:5. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. Romans 2:4. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? Romans 11:22. Consider, therefore, the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. We see that God is kind even to those who don't deserve it. Kindness is the fifth fruit of the Holy Spirit in our series on fruit of the Holy Spirit. God wants to bring out kindness through us to others. You'll feel impressions or urges within to show kindness to someone. Act on them. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is more than just an attitude or personality trait we desire. It's more than being nice. It's evidence that the Holy Spirit lives within us. The Holy Spirit wants you to be like Jesus. He's at work in you, bringing out Christ-like characteristics. You simply say, yes. Just make yourself available to the Lord to work through. Now, the Greek word for kindness is Christos. When the Romans heard Christians worshipped Christ, that Greek word is Christos. It's only one letter difference. Romans actually thought Christians worshipped kindness. You know, it's not that bad a mix-up. Kindness can be defined as goodness in action, sweetness of disposition, gentleness in dealing with others, benevolence, affability. You act for the benefit of those taxing your patience. As you live your life every day, the Holy Spirit will speak to you to show kindness to those who cross your path. as little Christ, Christos, let us be Christos. Probably the easiest way to teach the trait of kindness is to tell a story, or let Jesus tell it. The parable of the Good Samaritan is the story that Jesus is going to tell us this morning. It's found in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 38. In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." From this passage, I want to share with you 3 things we see here about kindness. The first, kindness is full of compassion. I love the story of the man on his way to a job interview, and he was all dressed up for it. He saw a car on the side of the road and a lady standing beside the car with a flat tire. He wanted to stop and help, but he knew he'd be late for the interview if he did, so he drove past. But he thought about it some more and turned around. He asked her if he could help. He changed the tire, and she thanked him and drove off. Now he was all dirty. As he sat in his car, he thought, "Why go to the appointment since I'm already late and will make a bad impression?" But he went anyway. When the secretary called him into the office of the head of HR, it was the woman with the flat tire. Well, needless to say, he got the job. When we lived in Canton, we had a big snowfall, and Kyle and I went out for a walk. We saw someone stuck in the snow and pushed them out. We walked some more and saw another stuck car and helped them. It was fun. Now, how do you respond to people in need? I don't always respond with kindness. But the more you care about people and love people, the more kind you will be to them. The Samaritan saw the wounded man. Jesus sees hurting people. The Holy Spirit in you does too. When Jesus saw a leper, a sick person, he healed them. Matthew 9:36 says, "When he, Jesus, saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." People's needs weren't a nuisance or bother to Jesus. Now I'm thinking right now about first responders and health care professionals. They're putting their lives at risk to help others. Now I know it's their job, but they obviously have compassion for people or they wouldn't be in that job. A priest and Levite also saw the wounded man and passed by on the other side of the road. They had good reasons. One being, if they touched a dead body, they would become unclean. Perhaps they feared robbers nearby. Sometimes robbers would pretend to be hurt, and if someone stopped to help, his buddies would jump on the guy helping. Sometimes our reason is we just close our heart of compassion. There were Greeks of Jesus' day called Stoics. Stoicism was an important philosophy of the day. they believed if they felt another's pain, they'd be disadvantaged. They would be affected by others, and that's bad. The other would have power over them. This is a famous experiment done at Princeton Theological Seminary. The students heard a lecture on the Good Samaritan and left class. An actor was paid to dress like a homeless person and lay on the ground acting hurt. 90% of the students passed him by after just hearing this passage. The study found that those in a hurry are less likely to stop and help someone. Doesn't that describe most of us? Notice the reaction of the Samaritan. He saw the man and took pity on him, had compassion on him. The priest and Levite saw him, but didn't take pity on him. They wondered how stopping to help would inconvenience themselves. The Samaritan thought what would happen to the injured man if he didn't stop. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another." A second lesson from the Good Samaritan story is kindness takes action. Seeing needs and feeling compassion will get you thinking about ways to help. The Samaritan acted on his feelings of compassion. Kindness acts. But in this case, it was dangerous to act. The Jericho Road was notoriously dangerous. The 20-mile road from Jerusalem to Jericho dropped in elevation 3,600 feet. It became rocky and barren and narrow. It was dotted with caves where bandits could hide. Even in the 5th century, it was called the Bloody Way. Even in the 1930s, travelers were accosted and their cars stopped by robbers. So Jesus' audience wouldn't be surprised at this take of the story. It was just like our big cities at night. After I got saved at age 19, I had a burden for the lost and hurting. I convinced a few guys to go out on the streets of Canton Friday and Saturday nights. We'd witness to prostitutes mostly. We'd go into bars and share our faith. Biker bars were the scariest. Gay bars too. But I thought it was fun. One night a police car drove in front of us while we were on the sidewalk and up on the curb. He said that they had just put a toe tag on a guy tonight, and we don't belong here, so go home. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now see, we put on our own clothing. We choose what we're going to wear and put it on. And we're to do the same with kindness. It's a choice. Kindness acts. The Samaritan bent down and spoke to the man, bandaged his wounds, probably using his own shirt. He poured his oil and wine on his wounds, put him on his own donkey while he walked. He took him to an inn and continued to minister to him, even paying for the night's stay, and basically left a blank check for the innkeeper, kind of like the golfer in a way. Now, the innkeeper could have taken advantage of the Samaritan being a Samaritan. He probably did. But the Samaritan did it anyway. Kind acts are certainly needed in our society, but perhaps more in our homes. It's easy to take our spouse, kids, and friends for granted. So a good first step is being kind at home. Marriages are on the rocks, but could be saved if both spouses determined to be kind to each other. Here's the third principle. Kindness changes lives. Now, many view kindness as a weakness in our world today. It's very competitive. And if you're too kind, you will get taken advantage of. Others will get ahead of you, get the promotion. You know the old adage, nice guys finish last. 2 Timothy 2:24. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Did you notice that? His command is kindness to everyone. Now, I'm thinking of Barnabas. He's one of my favorite Bible characters. Paul, then called Saul, was a Pharisee who hated Christians. He persecuted and killed them. But he got saved and then tried to be a part of the church. But the disciples were afraid this was a ploy to get inside and kill them. So Barnabas was the first to believe in Paul and persuaded the apostles that he was legit. I often think, where would Paul's ministry be without Barnabas? Whose name, by the way, means son of encouragement. People need encouragement. So being kind with our words is very powerful. But the kindest words to someone could be a rebuke. Proverbs 27:6 says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Just think about your doctor. Doctors have to tell us the truth. Would you want your doctor to tell you that everything's okay or that you have cancer? But he's hopeful that there's a treatment and he'll see you through to recovery. We mistake not telling others the truth in love because it wouldn't be kind. But is it kind to let someone go the wrong way and they get really messed up? Kind people look for ways to help. I love the passage in Job 29. Job says, because I rescued the poor who cried for help and the fatherless who had none to assist him, the man who was dying blessed me. I made the widow's heart sing. I put on righteousness as my clothing. Justice was my robe and my turban. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy. I took up the case of the stranger. I broke the fangs of the wicked and snatched the victims from their teeth. Let me tell you this. If you live your life like Job, looking for people to help, being kind to everyone, God will absolutely bless you. Like it says in Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely mercy and goodness will follow me all the days of my life. That word follow means pursue or hunt down. God will hunt down the kind man to bless. I want to tell you the story, an example of that from Jill Briscoe's book. She says, I've been traveling for 2 weeks straight, speaking at meetings. Somehow, a tight schedule allowed only time for talking and not much eating. Whenever it was mealtime, I found myself on one more airplane. On this particular day, it was hot, it was summer, and I was tired and hungry. My flight had been delayed, and by the time I arrived at the next conference center, I discovered that my host had gone to bed. In the morning, I learned that because of the delayed flight, they presumed I would not be coming until the following day, hence no welcoming committee. I wandered around the large dining room, hoping to find something to eat, but all the doors into the kitchen had been locked. Lord, I prayed, I really don't care what I eat, but I need to eat something while I'm talking to you about this. I've got a yearning for peaches. Oh, for a lovely, refreshing, juicy peach. Then I smiled. That was just the sort of prayer I had counseled others against offering. I sighed, picked up my bags, and went to my assigned cabin. When I arrived at my room, a basket of peaches sat on the doorstep, smiling up at me. I lifted them up and felt my loving Lord smile. I mean, it could have been oranges or apples, you know. Never before or since have I received a whole basket of delicious fresh peaches. The Lord provided a sweet touch that reminded me of His great love. God gives us numerous opportunities for kindness to be displayed. Even spontaneous opportunities. There are people around us daily who need help. Now, the Good Samaritan probably had a busy schedule too. Like us. We're busy. We're distracted. We're forgetful. But he gave his time and aid. He did what he could do, and it changed a man's life. He probably would have died without his help. Kindness is powerful. It changes the world one person at a time. Now, who can you be kind to? In the home? In your neighborhood? At church? At your school? At work? Even in these times of COVID-19, God's heart towards others is the same. Be safe, but show kindness. God is kind, and His Spirit dwells in you. Let Him live through you. Now, the greatest kindness of all is God sending His Son to die on the cross. If you have never received Him as your Savior, do so now as we pray. Oh, you are the great example of kindness. For you looked upon us with compassion and pity in our state of sin. And you did something about it. You acted. You sent your Son to die on the cross, to forgive our sins, that if we put our faith and trust in Him, we would be saved. Lord, if there's anyone listening to the sound of my voice, and they've never trusted Jesus Christ to forgive their sins, then, Lord, I pray that they would cry out to you right now and ask for forgiveness and put their faith and trust in salvation, in going to heaven, solely on what you did for them on the cross. And, Lord, we want to thank you for your great kindness toward us, not only in sending Jesus, but in all that you do for us every day. You are a good, good Father. We thank you, Lord, and bless your holy name. Amen.